This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. Happy 4th of July. Actually, yesterday was the 4th of July, but happy 4th of July weekend. You know, 228-ish years ago, 1776, we declared our independence. And that was through the Declaration of Independence. One of the things that you might want to do is go back and listen to my show from July 4th, 2013, easy to find in the archives, because I discussed the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, what each contains, what each means, their critical importance to our freedoms, our values, the essence of America. Kind of an emotional show, actually. I think you'll like it. And a take that perhaps you've never heard before. Certainly, a discussion you have not heard before. So, if you get a chance, do that. After you listen to it, you might want to have your kids listen to it. I'm sure it's better than most of the history they're being taught. There's a great blog on the Land for Love and Money websites and the On the Right Side Radio websites about the 56 brave men who signed the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. You know, it is worth reading, because what these men knew they would be subjected to, and which, in fact, they were subjected to, a large proportion of them, many of whom died, were tortured, died years later bankrupt because their property and goods had been stolen, seized, burned. Yet they signed that document. What courage. What conviction. I don't put myself on their level. I don't even put myself at the level of their toenail. But it's the reason I write the Threads West series, which is the story of us. It's a story of the shaping of America, American values, the blending of uncommon cultures, men and women from all around the world and from right here in America, and how we wove ourselves into the cloth that is the country. And it's the reason I write Land for Love and Money. Because, yes, it's a great how-to and won 3 more awards in the last month. Thank you very much. Best real estate book, etc. It's not about that. I write that book, really, not only to give you hands-on stuff about real estate that you can use, make you and save you money, help you enjoy your land, your property, your home, your lot, your condo, but it's to warn you about the attack on both your private property and your private property rights, which we see more and more of in the news. Condemnations, eminent domain, the Bundy deal, never mind what you think of him. They still tried to take a property right. And they're doing it in Texas, and they're doing it in Oklahoma. And all these things are antithesis. They are the opposite of what these 56 brave men who signed the Declaration of Independence envisioned, intended, hope for. And for approximately 170 years, 160 years, into a World War II, maybe even slightly before that, Woodrow Wilson, then Franklin Delano Roosevelt. This country stayed pretty true to their vision. And then we started to drift. And now, of course, we're at a point where this president is viewed in the Quinnipiac poll as the worst president in the last 70 years. My prediction is it will be the worst president ever before this gets done. As I've said before, Jimmy Carter looks up to the sky every morning and thanks God for Barack Obama. This show is not going to be my usual show with a lot of warning, prognostications, Kind of a fused anger at what's going on, the travesty of it all. It's going to be about hope. I'm going to get in the spirit of these 56 brave men who paved the way for the life we enjoy today. Trials and tribulations aside, dangers aside, they had hope. They had faith. I don't mean just religious faith. I mean faith. Faith that it would all work out. Faith that they could make it work out. Faith in the other colonists who had risen up against the king. And faith, most of all, in their ideas, their ideals, and their principles. Which is why I do this radio show. Trust me, I am so busy my eyes are crossed, writing the books, running the ranches, working for the clients that I have, consulting on conservation easements, etc., speaking. I do this show because tens of thousands of you, some cases hundreds of thousands of you, like last the July 4, 2013 show, to 300,000 listeners. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to my ideas. I'm sure many don't agree or agree only partially. The point is, my role is to bring you news that you can't get anywhere else, to bring you news in advance of where you will hear it, of when you will hear it anywhere else, and to kind of, as my favorite saying goes, tie the dots together with you. With lines and try and prognosticate the future, which unfortunately, hugely unfortunately, I've been pretty much dead on for the last 3.5 years. And does this cost me book sales? I'm sure it does. And does this result in who knows what going on behind the scenes? I'm sure it does. But you know what? He who does not stand for his principles has none. And I love this country. And I love my countrymen. And I love the values and principles upon which we were founded, even though we occasionally stray, we make mistakes, we get greedy, we do bad things. Gee, welcome to life. The perfect country has never existed. The perfect man has never breathed. The perfect woman has never walked the earth. It is just the way it is. It's when that imperfection is intentional that it gets so annoying. And that annoyance is exacerbated when those who make those intentional statements, take those intentional acts, or intentionally refuse to act, think we're stupid enough not to know. How insulting. But this show is about hope, and it's about faith. Because, we have huge problems. I'm not going to go into any details. We're all familiar with them. Future shows, I'm going to delve into some aspects of some of these problems, like immigration, that you don't know about, that you need to know about, and what its effect might be on your life and the lives of your kids. But this show is not that show. We've heard about the NSA, we've heard about Fast and Furious, we've heard about the perjury of IRS officials and Eric Holder and a host of other government liars, Mr. Clapper, Mr. Obama. We've heard about Benghazi, the IRS, destroying evidence at the IRS, destroying evidence at the EPA, Agenda 21, the nightmare at the Veterans Administration. Just this week, we have a new revelation. They took people who were working at the VA and in the VA building and made them work on Obamacare applications. And we had another revelation which got buried by the press. You know that 8 million figure that Barack Obama told us? Gee, big surprise. Try 3.26 or is it 3.56? I mean, does it matter? It's way below. It's not even half of the 8 million number that he claimed have enrolled. And then we also learned this week that 2.6 million plus or minus 100,000 of those people, the system has millions of glitches. It was in the Inspector General's report that came out this week and got buried. They can't even tell whether these people are illegal aliens, eligible for Obamacare, or eligible for subsidies. Not only that, the Inspector General's report says they may never be able to. Didn't know about that little juicy tidbit, did you? And listen, we know about inflation. In fact, I got a great article under Women from Agora Finance with some comparative charts like what a July 4th barbecue cost this year versus last year, what it costs to go to the ballpark this year on July 4th versus last year. Worth reading. You'll note at the bottom of that article, you remember the news here, right before July 4th? The Commerce Department and Department of Labor released statistics that the unemployment went down to 6.1%. Remember that site I told you about, realstatistics.com? This month it's 23.1%. That's the real unemployment rate. Because, see, they forgot to tell you that 111,000 people dropped out of the job market. And that a huge percentage of that 288,000 jobs they reported is what they call the birth death statistic. They figure that a third of those jobs, we're talking about almost 100,000 of the 288,000 number. I'm not making this up. The Labor Department just creates those jobs for the report because they figure that those are jobs in startup businesses where the owners are too busy to report them. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Whatever you say. Never mind that there's, close to 50 million people out of work are our labor deal. We got more people not working who can work right now than since Jimmy Carter. The labor employment participation rate. Anyway, the bottom line is you can't really believe anything, right? I mean, you really can't believe a single thing. And then we have, of course, the growth in welfare, the growth in food stamps. We have this despicable immigration mess. Listen to my show last week. I talk about this. There's way more here than meets the eyes. You really need to listen to that show. I'm not going to repeat it here. But this didn't just happen. This just didn't happen because of the president's unilateral and illegal proclamation that, kids under 18 or whatever the hell it was, who cares, can stay in the country. It happened because they placed ads down there. They caused these ads. They caused the press in these Central American countries to gin this up. They wanted this to happen. And true to form, now they got a crisis, and Nancy Pelosi blew it. Last week she said, "We can't let this crisis go to waste." Thanks, Nancy. I mean, we already knew it, but it's nice to hear you admit it. Create the crisis, use it to your advantage. The usual. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. Let me throw out a quick thought. Why do you think they're moving all these illegal aliens that they paid off, planted the press in Central America to send here? Why do you think they're busing them and sending them by plane to red states and red areas in blue states? You think there could be a political implication there since they think that eventually these people will vote Democratic? What do you think? You think it's an attempt to blue red areas? No, they'd never do that. Nonetheless, something to watch in the news as they talk about where these folks are being bused and shipped. It seems to me, of course, I'm just a dumb rancher, But it seems to me that if you can put them on a plane to Oklahoma, you sure as hell can put them on a plane back to Guatemala. And then, of course, we have the national debt, unfunded liabilities, lots of show in the archives. Bone up on that. It's going to get more and more prescient as this year, next year unfolds. And then, of course, we have the government, spying on the press, bugging all their phones, and of course, the attorney general saying he didn't know anything about it when he signed the warrants personally with a pen, not a stamp. So we know about all this stuff. Now, let's talk about something great. Let's talk about the American spirit. There's 20 or 30% of this country that are worthless. I mean, they're a drag on society. They're a drag on America. It's like throwing an anchor off a rowboat tied to your neck with a cinder block at the end. That's what that 30% is. There's no hope for them. Unless there's some calamity, in which case they'll just want more help. But the other 70% of the country, which is the huge majority of my, which is represented by the huge majority of my audience, there's lots of hope for us, folks. Because you know what? We're self-reliant. We're strong. We have principles. Most of us are willing to stand on those principles and stand up. Most of us have common sense that God gave us. And most of us know right from wrong, up from down, 2 + 2 = 4. And most of us understand the values and the concepts behind America. You want to get ahead? You go to work early and you stay late. You want to get something done? Put your shoulder next to the next guy and push on a common wheel. Yeah, we're Americans. We can correct what is upside down. We can right this listing ship. We can take over the rudder and steer in the right direction. And we can, and we owe the next generation that effort. Never mind. Owe it to ourselves and owe it to our country. And owe it to those 56 men who pledged their lives, their property, and their sacred honor almost 230 years ago yesterday for us, for generations yet unborn. That would be us. Do we not owe generations unborn the same measure of courage? You bet we do. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like to look in the mirror and smile rather than cast my eyes down from myself ashamedly because I did not stand up. So let's talk about some of these things and what we can do. I'm going to throw out some ideas. You may like some, you may not. But those that you do, maybe you write them down and maybe you start talking to people about them. It's amazing how word of mouth goes. Use social media. Because all of our problems are huge, and all of them can be solved, and all of them can be solved simply. I'm just a dumb rancher. Water runs downhill. Let's talk about tax. The biggest thing we can do to spur this economy is change our tax code. The government's promised to do this for years and years and years. It's more yada, yada, yada. They don't want to change it. They want those 77,000 pages that gives them power. It gives them the buddy system. It gives them campaign contributions. But what we need to do immediately is simple. Lower the corporate tax, which right now is 35%, the highest in the world, to 15%. Give all these companies that have $3 trillion parked offshore a tax holiday of 1 year or 2 years. I'm not going to get down the weeds here. To bring that money back in, have it taxed at only 5%. Some money will go to the Treasury, and they are bound to use a portion of it to create longer-term jobs. None of this three-month crap that they include in the unemployment statistics. That spurs employment, that spurs taxes, that helps the budget. We'll get to that. And then this change are 77,000 pages of tax code that govern small business and individuals like you and me to like 200 pages. Three rates, maybe four for the super, super ultra wealthy. Like Hillary Clinton. God, I wish I was as broke as Hillary Clinton. You know, I mean, really, you have to laugh at some of this stuff. I mean, we were destitute when we left the White House. We only made $12 million that year. Wah! Okay, Hillary. We know you're for the common man. You get it. You understand. The flat tax, folks, will also eliminate a huge portion of the bureaucracy at the IRS, again, helping the budget, saving money, lessening federal employees and workforce, making our lives simpler, costing us less on accountants, costing us far less in taxes, and incentivizing us to work, produce, create jobs, and opportunities for others. It's very simple. It will spur tax revenues, which brings us to the next, and by the way, it's historically proven, without doubt, without exception, lowering tax rates increases revenues to the Treasury, period. And when I say period, it's not like Barack Obama saying, period, you can keep your doctor, period. It's different. So the budget needs to be balanced. It's out of control. $17.6 trillion, almost $17.7 trillion in primary national debt now. $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities, give or take $20 trillion. Who cares? Can't pay it back. We need to balance the budget. It's real easy. Cut expenditures 1% a year. You've heard some of the commentators. Hannity, in fact, likes this plan. 1% a year. And in the next 6 to 8 years, depending upon what model you use, your budget will be balanced. Now, we can all do that, right? I mean, if somebody came to you and said, can you cut your household budget by 1%? You know, you're making 50 grand a year. Can you cut your budget by $500? And in 7 years, you'll be totally in balance. Do you think you could do that? Of course you could do that. In fact, you probably wouldn't even notice it. Oh, gee, you'd go out to dinner 10 times less over the entire course of the year. Big deal. It's the same, except we're talking trillions and hundreds of billions for the government. If you increase revenues through revising the tax code for corporations and individuals, and you decrease expenditures, guess what you're going to wind up with? A surplus, which will start lowering the national debt and at least making a tiny incremental infinitesimal dent in the monumental unfunded liabilities. Let's talk about education. The Department of Education really needs to go away. I post all sorts of articles under the women's section here about Common Core, etc. What a bunch of crud. I mean, this is like political indoctrination 101. Class, repeat after me. I am a loyal comrade. And I don't care what kind of crap gloss they try and put on it. That's what Common Core is. It's molding of the collective. The undermining of American values, the subversion of the individual, and the cookie-cutter stamp of the proletariat. And it's all because of the federal government. The federal government needs to get the hell out of education. It's a local issue. If the bluest of the blue, liberal of the most liberal, gayest of the gay, whatever, neighborhood in San Francisco wants to have a whole bunch of far-left teachers like Bill Ayers teaching at their school and teach Common Core 10X. You know, I disagree with it, but they should be able to do it. This is their community. And if you folks in Colorado Springs or Billings or Lincoln or Preston or places anywhere want to have conservative teachers that teach American history and American values tailored to your youth, that should be your right. And the $72 billion a year wasted on the Department of Education would also kind of go to help balance that budget thing, wouldn't it? It's all tied in, you see. And those poor kids in the inner cities who really don't have a shot, while our president bemoans the sorry state of education and then backs his union buddies in fighting charter schools and vouchers, you know, we need to double, triple, quadruple the voucher system. We need to openly embrace and kindle with a Bunsen burner charter schools. And by the way, as you bring up a more educated bunch of kids, they will create more, earn more, create more opportunity for others and increase revenues to the government, which will lower the budget. Imagine that. It all ties in. Healthcare. Listen, we're all concerned about our health, right? I mean, that's kind of the key thing. If you don't have good health, you're kind of behind the eight ball from the get-go. Everything else becomes far less important. And I can see the point about covering people who aren't covered, if they want to be. And if they don't want to be, you know, if they get sick and they die, oh, gee, I know this is politically incorrect. That's just too bad. They made a choice. I don't expect to pay for them. I don't ask them to pay for me. I'm not buying any policy that requires me to have maternity coverage. Last time I checked, I can't have a kid. I can't be a mom. And I don't expect some 70-year-old to buy pediatric coverage to take care of my grandkids. I mean, this is so upside down. And it's so easy to fix. This could have been, this health care bill could have been done in 200 pages. I've done shows on it. Go back in the archives. I've done 6 national interviews with people from both sides, including White House spokesmen. Listen to it. Everything I said over the last 3 years has come to pass. Everything in this healthcare law. Except it's even worse than I projected. But to change healthcare is so simple. Get rid of this Obamacare monster crap bureaucracy nonsense. Institute tort reform. I know the trial attorneys association is going to hate this and less campaign contributions for the Democrats, but too bad. Mississippi and Texas have done it. Cut insurance rates for doctors by 2/3. Save tens of billions a year just in those states. They've incubated the idea. It works. The savings are estimated at somewhere around $80 billion. It might be more. Then, let's have insurance across state lines. Everybody's been yakking about this for years. Let's do it, for God's sakes. Which saves another $50 billion plus in premium savings. Those premium savings you were promised that, you know, in fact, became a doubling of the cost, not $2,500 less. You can keep your doctor. You can keep your policy, period. And then Big Pharma. You know, Big Pharma was roped into, I've talked about this, make it brief. They were bribed to support Obamacare by the limit of generic drugs, which costs us $80 billion a year in extra drug costs. And then, instead of an IPAB board, which is a death panel board, you know, I mean, that's what they are, folks. They're a rationing board. They'll decide who can do what to whom when. They'll decide if you're worth saving. And I'm telling you, I am telling you right now, a lot of you are, they're going to figure you're not worth saving. And instead of the IPAB, another federal bureaucracy, can you imagine the staff for those 15 goons? How about we have a fraud panel? Five attorneys who are absolute vicious sharks and prosecutors. Five forensic accountants who could ferret out a stolen penny from under a rock 20 miles away. And five doctors, maybe five doctors who were convicted for Medicare and Medicaid fraud in the past because they know how it's done. Put it in some useful purpose. And those 15 people are charged with rooting out, stamping out, putting in jail, and ending the $200 billion in fraud and waste in Medicare and Medicaid every year. Now, if you take all those kind of simple steps, which you could do in 200 pages of law, that equals about somewhere between $390 and $430 billion in savings, half a trillion dollars almost in savings every year. And that money goes into a pool. And the pool takes care of all those uninsured people who can't afford insurance and want to be insured. It takes care of pre-existing conditions. It takes care of all these little goodies that they bribed you with 5 pages of the 2,700 pages of Obamacare. 5 pages which gave you goodies and 2,695 pages which take them all away times 10, plus your freedoms, plus maybe your life. By the way, doing it this way would save about $1 trillion every 10 years. That's the Congressional Budget Office. Which, guess what? Helps the budget. Man, it's amazing how it all flows back to the center, doesn't it? Let's talk about foreign. What a wreck. Holy smokes. I mean, we could spend the whole show on that. We could spend shows and shows and shows on it. But let's make it simple. 2 weeks ago, I talked about what I thought we should do. You should listen to it. It's way politically incorrect. Because I think we just go over there and kind of level those battlefields. And who cares if the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the Shiite militia, or the ISIS boys are in the way of the bombs? You think any of those people like us? Who cares? This is not a popularity contest. Our mission is to keep ourselves and our families and our country safe against biological attack, against nuclear attack, against terror attacks of all shapes and forms, which could happen in the blink of an eye anymore. Read the articles under Terror and International that I have posted. And by the way, I have a huge section of articles under immigration because the two are tied in. To the extent we cannot control immigration, plus the extent that we do not take decisive actions far from our shores to exterminate the enemies of ours who publicly state day in and day out that their mission is to exterminate us, you think they're lying? Those two are coupled. One of them out of balance is hugely dangerous. Both of them out of balance is catastrophic. Catastrophic. And we need to back Israel in taking out the Iranian nuclear facilities, which they must do and will do. And if we back them, maybe there's a chance they can get it done without using their tactical nuclear weapons. Because if they have to, they will. And who knows what that could trigger. On the other hand, if Iran gets the nuclear bomb, we know what it will trigger. Have no doubt. You know, you can get English versions of Iranian newspapers, state papers, on the web. You know, you should look at them once in a while. I mean, they tell you what they're going to do. ISIS has told us what they're going to do. The head of ISIS, when Barry released him from Guantanamo in 2009, told his captors, soldiers who let him go, that he'd see them in New York. Do you think that was for a Broadway musical? The sooner we again flex our muscles, the faster this world will be far more peaceful and far less dangerous. History has proven it time and time again. Voltaire once wrote, "The sound of history is the sound of hobnailed boots ascending and slippered feet descending." True then, true now, true in the future. And we can be much more productive when we are secure and not worried, right? And more productive means more opportunity, and it means more revenues to the treasury, and it means a reduction in the budget and the debt. Wow, here we are again, back at the center. And by the way, as part of this security, energy. Barry needs to okay the Keystone Pipeline. Everybody understands that this oil, if we don't get it, is going to be used by China, right? You got that? Part of it's already been diverted. I had several articles on the show two or three weeks ago. Canada's getting fed up with this crap. They got stuff to sell. They're not going to wait around for Barry to do his political dance in between his campaign appearances. China has the money. China wants the oil. The pipeline is built to Vancouver. And let me tell you, China's going to burn it. We're not going to have it. It's going to cost us all money, increase the debt, screw up the budget, lower your quality of life, and make us less secure. Period. And federal lands need to be opened up to fracking. Instead, we have this anti-fracking movement led by Barry and his environmental cohorts, and the moronic Democratic Party, the progressives, communists. You folks in Colorado, you better wake up. They're doing a backroom deal. I got an article. I had an article on it last week. I got an article on it this week. They're doing a backroom deal down there in Denver while you're asleep, which will basically outlaw fracking in the state of Colorado. That's a big chunk of that resurgence that you're seeing down there. It's a big underpinning of your housing market. It's a huge chunk of your employment and unemployment, which is pretty good relative to the other states. They're going to shut down a huge chunk of your economy. You're going to pay for it in all sorts of ways. So, you better think real hard about what lever you pull in November, locally, at the state level, and federally, everywhere, but particularly places like Colorado. I mean, I'm familiar with the western slope of Colorado. You shut down fracking, and that place, which is just kind of taking a breath of life after being pounded into the dirt by the last governor, and Hickenlooper, the current governor, and the morons out of Washington. It'll be over. Lights out. And a lot of good people get hurt. It's not what the 56 people who signed that Declaration of Independence envisioned. They envisioned the opposite. They gave their lives for the opposite. They lost their entire means of living and died bankrupt for the opposite. They pledged and gave their lives, their property, their sacred honor. Are you not going to stand behind them and fight for what is yours, folks? And then last, you know, immigration, so easy. Send the army down there and the National Guard. Seal the border with vehicles and men. Build the fence. If you don't think fences work, how come terrorism went down in Israel 99%? 99%. By the way, see the linkage between immigration and terrorism? When they built the fence between them and the Palestinians. Fences do work. The fence needs to go up. And then the 11 or now 12 or 13 or who, God only knows how many people are here. Then those folks get a plan. They don't follow the plan, they're gone, they never come back. They follow the plan from the end of the line, write some checks, learn their English, get tested regularly, no ifs and buts and ors, and you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, however long it takes, it's welcome to the United States. After renouncing their country of origin. If you're going to be an American, be an American. If you want to be a Guatemalan or a Chilean or a Mexican, be a Mexican or a Chilean or a Guatemalan. We don't need you here. You want to be an American? Go through the hoops? We'd love to have you here. To me, this is very simple. And then the last thing we need to do, folks, is we need to back this growing movement for constitutional amendments. I did several shows on this and how they're done. You know, they can start from the bottom up. They do not have to start in the Senate or the House. There's actually a constitutional convention which is going on. Great men, kind of the ancestors of the 56, are hard at work. Support them. Learn about it. Contribute. Term limits, campaign finance limits, $5,000 per person or corporation or union, period. Voter fraud, life imprisonment. No monkey business. You break a campaign law, you go away for a long time. You commit voter fraud, which is the theft of a vote from a law-abiding citizen, and the undermining of our democracy, and a violation of the Constitution, never mind the moral and ethical scumminess of it, you go away for life. Boy, I bet voter fraud would go right down to zero from its current rampant state. And how about the Senate being elected by legislatures as it was up until the early 1900s? You know, the closest elected representative you have to you, other than your city councilman, is your state legislator. Don't you think your will directed through them is going to do a better job of electing Senate candidates than outside money in the form of tens of millions of dollars? Remember my last constitutional amendment suggestion, 5,000 limit for everybody? Flooding into your state, trying to influence your decision or the decision of your neighbors that will affect your life? Damn right it will. So, That's my thumbnail sketch of problems and fixes. And despite the fact I jump up and down in most of my shows, some say foam at the mouth, we can do this. We can do this. I have more than hope, I have faith, because we are America, and we are Americans. We know what's right and wrong, we know water flows downhill, and we know 2 + 2 = 4. And we know the difference between freedom and liberty and the opposite. We can do this. So let's start. You have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend. We'll talk to you next week. God bless America. God bless Americans. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.